Welcome to Green Connections Radio. This is Joan Michelson. I'm here with Hillary Fordwich of AOC Key Solutions. Hillary comes to us with many years of experience in business development in professional services. She spent more than a decade working at KPMG, where we were just chatting. We might have competed against each other for some contracts when I was in professional services as well, and had her own consulting firm and also worked at Corvus Communications. She's a nationally renowned business development expert, so we're just going to jump in because she specializes in government contracts. And there have been some very interesting changes in government contracting recently, especially in energy and clean tech areas, and especially as it relates to women-owned businesses as well. So thank you for being here, Hillary. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, Joan.
So let me ask you, first of all, tell me about the government contracting market overall for energy and clean tech companies.
Yeah, I think it's a very actually robust environment. As you know, this administration and in general, the government does want to become greener. And actually, you know, at KSI, it's a focus that we've had. Since about 1985, we've actually won for our clients about $50 billion in energy and environmental remediation contracts. So it is a vast market. There's a lot of opportunities still there. And as you know, the national defense budget is now sort of, you know, still $630 billion. So there's a lot of room for a lot of contracts there.
And what you mentioned, the defense, what impact does the National Defense Authorization Act that just was signed into law have on this?
Well, I don't think that we can actually look at every single aspect of that yet, because I don't think anybody really knows. There are specialists, I think, that would be able to break down the categories. What we're working with is companies in general, where there are contracts available. So we're looking to see what opportunities they have, and that's a specialization that we have, yeah.
So what are the areas that in clean tech and energy in particular that companies and executives who are listening to this might zero in on to get a particular niche?
I'm thinking of, for example, some of the things that we've done for our clients for the EPA and in the energy field with regard to some former federal facilities. For example, there are dozens of Superfund sites. There are nuclear facilities at Savannah Riverside, Idaho National Engineering Laboratory, Los Alamos, and we've worked with our clients and won contracts for our clients there. We've also worked a lot with formerly utilized sites for Remedial Action Program. That's the FUSRAP, which is pronounced FUSRAP, at a dozen or more locations. So we've been working with clients in all of those.
Boy, that'll fall off your tongue, won't
it?
Yes. What kinds of work, though? Is it marketing? Is it developing information technology systems? Is it working with hiring people, labor issues? What exactly are these types of contracts?
Well, I can speak to the specific contracts that Key Solutions has won for clients. We have supported clients win and remediate CURA and former sites, particularly those involved in handling and disposing of ammunition. A lot of cleanup in terms of explosive ordnance, actually that date back in some cases to World War I. Which I think is quite fascinating. We've also supported clients. Some examples will be Fluor Corporation and Northrop Grumman. The segment of Northrop Grumman that was formerly Newport News Shipbuilding, which has since been sold and renamed, and Honeywell to win contracts and manage and operate, for example, the Savannah River Ecology Laboratory. So as you can see, it's military, it's cleanup, it's some of the things that are laboratories. Also, we've actually won that with the a contract about $125 million per year in terms of managing and operating the National Energy Technology Laboratory, NETL. That's located in Pittsburgh. And that's, we've won for our clients in particular, great opportunities there.
So when you say you've won for your clients, does that mean, what KSI does is help a given company win a government contract? You don't actually do the work that the contract is bidding on. You help them do a better proposal, if you will, and presentation to win the contract.
You're absolutely correct, Joan. Yes, we Key Solutions is not a government contractor. We provide strategy, capture, and proposal work for our clients to help them win. In total, not just green, but in total since 1983, that's been about $120 billion. But as I mentioned, since 1985, probably $50 billion specifically in energy and environmental remediation contracts. When you ask about the firm, we have numerous subject matter experts, those are SMEs, who are LEED certified. That's the certification that the government wants in terms of buildings, that all buildings be LEED certified. So we found that there are a lot of firms out there that want to comply with government regulations, and they come to us for one, for compliance, to make sure that they're doing everything should they should. We help them get arranged, organized for that, and then win the contracts.
Do they, how often do they use subcontractors? And when they're choosing subcontractors, do they look for women-owned businesses or disadvantaged 8A or women-owned small business, or EDWOSB-owned businesses to help subcontract with them, and why?
That, well, first of all, it's a good question. Yes, the government does. The government has specific set-asides for minority-owned businesses, but also for women-owned businesses. And yes, they do look for them in terms of subcontractors. So there's a vast opportunity for any woman-owned business out there. We actually recently just interviewed, I had Desmond Brown on the show Government Contracting Weekly that AOC Key Solutions sponsors. And he is in the Office of Personnel Management. He heads up the disadvantaged business agency there, and he was saying that, you know, they're looking for not only women, disadvantaged businesses, minorities. There are so many opportunities, and he says, and I turn this to say for women in particular, women listening to the show today should not feel that they're precluded from winning a government contract just because they don't have a long track record. He said today what the government is looking for in particular are those people that have a passion and energy, and he talked about attitude. He was really, really big on attitude, and he was saying that they are looking for people that have the attitude. Of course, they want new technologies, innovative technologies, so I would encourage any woman listening today to think about, do I have something new, innovative, different, and am I passionate about serving the federal government, finding a way to deliver a product or a service that the government currently doesn't have? And I would contact Desmond Brown's office specifically. I mean, that he encouraged minorities to do that, women to do so, and I say our audience should do so.
Oh, that's great. That's great information. You know, I had a meeting recently at a major government agency, and they said that they don't get credit when it's a subcontractor. They only get credit when it's a prime.
But what I'm saying is that the primes are looking for those subs because it can help them win the contracts. So I'm saying that women-owned businesses should be working with primes, but they also should go specifically to that particular agency, the of personnel management. Yes, they are looking for minorities, disadvantaged businesses, and set-asides, yes.
Okay, so some agencies actually look for the subcontractors to be women-owned businesses.
Are they, and or they advise them. Yes, and direct them towards contract, and they set up and facilitate meetings with procurement officers, et cetera.
Great, great, great. If you're just joining us, this is Joan Michelson with Green Connections Radio and Hillary Fordwich of AOC Key Solutions. What are the real advantages of using women-owned small businesses? I mean, I understand that you can get, they have some set-asides and et cetera, but are there any other advantages?
If you're asking me about an advantage of working with a woman versus a man, I think that verges on me being very unpolitically correct. But I would just encourage women. I can speak for myself in business and just say that, you know, I have never been discouraged by it, anything being perceived as a male world. And I think that if women look at, green opportunities in particular, I don't think that they should ever be discouraged. I can actually talk about or mention that we, KSI, supported a major client of ours, Parsons Corporation, to win a Navy contract. And that was involved with converting naval facilities nationwide to be more green and more sustainable. Well, there are a lot of women out there that have LEED certification. A lot of women have sustainable, capabilities, and they have capabilities that I think could fit with a major prime and apply to and get in contact with some of the major primes that are doing that work.
And you do need to be certified in order to do this. You need to be actually a certified woman-owned business.
Well, LEED certified, not a certified woman-owned business.
But I mean, to bid on the government contracts, you have to be a certified woman-owned business in order to get credit as a woman-owned business.
Correct.
Okay. I've read so many of these bids, and some of them sound like they're written by someone who doesn't speak English, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. I mean it in a comical sense, where they're unbelievably confusing. How do you read a contract? How can you really tell what the agency is really looking for? Because so often the language does not indicate what the true value proposition is that's going to change their mind.
Yeah, that's a good question, Joan. In defense of the government and the procurement sort of infrastructure inside the government, there have been a lot of now concerns about the fact that the whole procuring officers are young, they're less experienced than they have been. So a lot of them now are going by these regulations even more. So your question is a very good one, because one has to bear in mind that the regulations and the requirements around that particular procurement are going to be more adhered to than they ever were before. So first of all, the question is good. The answer to that is, I believe in life, like anything, you should always go to an expert. People at KSI, our teams, they can read through one of those RFPs very quickly. We can discern it. That's an expertise. It's like asking somebody who doesn't have legal expertise to please, go through this entire estate and tell you what the estate is going to suffer in terms of tax consequences. That's why you go to a tax lawyer. That's why you go to a tax consultant, you know? So I think that you need to, if you're a woman-owned business listening to the show, you should go to a firm, and there are many, but that's something Key Solutions does, where we will look at an RFP, we can read through it, and we can determine these are the what they are looking for. These are the key points. This is what you must do to differentiate your company. That's what we do and how we advise companies. One of the many things we do.
So you can read the tea leaves and what they're really saying, because so often they say A and you discover later that they're really looking for B.
And a lot of that, Joan, is because they have had an incumbent or a consultant or a firm work with them in terms of shaping the requirements. So that particular firm wants those requirements actually to not be as clear. So what we do also is we encourage companies to come with us as early as they possibly can in that entire procurement cycle. For example, if they are the incumbent, or if they have, if somebody listening to the show today has a proposition, has either a service or a product that they feel the government should need, speak to us very, very early on. Don't wait till one day you suddenly, read about an opportunity, an RFP coming out, and you want suddenly our help. Surely we do that. We help companies. But if we can work with a firm earlier, we could consult with a woman-owned business and we could say, look, this is what we think the opportunities for your product could be. Let us make some introductions. Let us make some introductions. Let us work with you through the whole capture. Let us advise you strategically who you should be meeting with, which procurement officers, which agencies, to help shape that next RFP. Then when the language comes out, it is more tailored to your firm.
Well, that's great. I was going to ask you about that, because Company A has expertise to offer and product to offer, but wading through the sources of these things, I mean, I worked at a company that used Envia, for example, and some other computer services that would screen these for you. But especially for women-owned businesses and some of the disadvantaged ones, I understand that there are sole source contracts as well. So if you're Company A and you want to say, well, I want to, frankly, get on this gravy train or get the benefit of some of the money that's being spent, how can they go to an agency and say, I've got XYZ to offer, let me help you? And then would that be where KSI would come in and help them figure out how to do that pitch? Or how does that work?
Yes, early on in the cycle. The issue with everything is the earlier the better. Right now, today or yesterday, everybody listening to this show should be thinking about, how can I shape any procurement that's coming out, anything. Sole source, no matter what it is. One of the things we did at KSI did was help a major petroleum operations firm that was involved in the subsequent cleanup after Katrina in the various Gulf Coast states, and that's because we were working with them early. If we hadn't been working with that firm early, that may not have happened. So that would be another example of a green example where anybody listening today, if you think you're in this arena and you think that you have something, or even if you're not in the arena and you want to jump in, speak with us. Let us see if we can help you shape your proposition, because the likelihood of win, we actually have, it's approximately, but we actually have about an 84% win rate. That also is sometimes because we're picky with the firms we work with, and we also will go after a certain firm if we think that they're perfectly suited to win. So that's why I think our win rate is very high. But, our experts know what they're doing. And listening to the show today, I really think, even if it isn't our firm, but women listening today should think about, where can I go for expert advice so they don't waste what is, you know, which is time, which is always money, and money, you know, answering up an RFP with a proposal that won't meet requirements, which is what we see usually, firms that don't meet the requirements, as you said, and in even more, I would say it's a litigious environment because there are more bid protests, but it's also an era of increased regulation where you've got inexperienced procurement officers who are going by the books even more because they have to. You need an expert no matter who you pick.
Great. And just to close out, how does KSI get a percentage of the contract, or how does that work?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. We don't. I guess actually in some ways I wish that we did because we might make millions. But we've decided no, because we are a focus of Key Solutions is principled-centered winning. That ethically we not only will not work with two firms that are competing either side of, you know, for a bid, the same firms that are competing for the same opportunity, but we've just decided that we will always work on a time and materials basis, on an hourly basis. We don't take a part of that, the pie, and don't take a part of the wins at the moment, no.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Hillary, for joining us. This is Joan Michelson from Green Connections Radio, speaking with Hillary Fordwich of AOC Key Solutions, also known as KSI. Yeah. We can be reached on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. My Twitter handle is Joan Michelson. It's probably the easiest one to keep in mind. Thank you so much.